The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in on Still Just Fishing Show. And we got this morning, we got Captain Chad Starling with Team Buck Rogers here.
Good morning.
And Bill Denmark.
Morning.
Good morning. It's about to blow your eardrum out.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you put on these headphones, man, whenever you got to check that volume before you start, you know, really getting in there. Because sometimes, I don't know who uses this one before me, but they have it turned up a lot, you know.
So, I'm not as old as you guys, so.
Yeah, so I have to watch it, man. When I put it on, I mean, my hearing's pretty good, so when I put it on, I have to watch that, man. It about. Mm-hmm. So, been able to fish this week?
I've fished, can't get in the ocean. Of course, the one pretty day that we had this week, I wasn't able to get out there, didn't have anything going on. And so I took care of some honeydews around the house and enjoyed being off, actually. Mm-hmm. But then yesterday the wind was blowing, had a couple of buddies invite me to go in their creeks. Mm-hmm. So I went in there and done something, you know, a little bit different. Some mud minnows and some shrimp. Caught quite a few fish, had some trout, some reds, flounder. Most of them were small, you know. And I did notice that they were liking the live shrimp a lot better than they were liking the mud minnows for some reason.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sometimes it just seems like they just kind of home in on something, you know.
Yeah.
And it may be what's in the creek, you know, mostly, mm-hmm. or whatever. Because I understand there's still some shrimp in the river. I mean, the shrimpers are still shrimping in the river.
Right.
You know, so that might be what it is. I haven't seen, you know, for it to be such a great shrimp run, usually like at mouth of Mill Cove or up in Mill Cove, a lot of times we'll see, you know, birds diving and picking up real nice shrimp by the, you know, the shrimp's pretty good size by the time it gets out that far. But I haven't seen that this year, so I don't know. Usually I like to try to target speckled trout when that's happening, you know, but hadn't seen that as much.
Last birds I saw were working on ribbon fish and chickapit.
Well, no, if there's working ribbon fish, there's usually speckled trout. Speckled trout love those little 4 to 6 inch long ribbon fish.
Yeah, they were driving them out of the water. It was almost hilarious.
Yeah, that's
they were like flying fish. I mean, it was just they'd come out of the water and just stay up like a little ribbon, try to keep weight, and then the birds would snatch them up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty cool.
The big story for offshore this past week, I think it was the second, was the pretty day. Everybody went offshore. Man, there was a lot of pretty wahoo caught.
Mm.
I mean, some people had multiple fish day. Some of them, I think, a friend of mine, Captain Joe Tooker, him and a buddy of his, Chris Townsend, I think it was, they had 65-pounder, 45-pounder, 40-pounder. Nice. Yeah.
Man, that's
some nice fish.
Are they using bait or high-speed trolling for them?
They're high-speed trolling, mostly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the best way to cover quite a bit of ground.
Yeah.
And when you say high speed, how fast is that?
It depends on the captain and how, you know, their tactics, but anywhere from 14, really from 12 knots to 24 knots.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty much moving out.
Yep, getting with it. But them fish, you know, people ask me about the wahoo fishing, and, you know, one of my favorite things to do in the summertime is kingfish. You know, you got the slow troll the live baits, and, and the kingfish, they'll grab that live bait, and they'll strip 50 yards of line off the reel before you can get your hands on that rod. And then people ask me, how does the wahoo compare to that? And I said, well, picture a kingfish. You've got 15-pound test line set on light drag, and he's stripping 50 yards of line off. Well, with the wahoo fishing, you've got 80-pound line and super tight drag. I mean, you're dragging 5 pounds of weight through the water, you know, and then he grabs it and he strips off 50 to 100 yards of line off on an 80-pound test, 50 wide reel, you know, while you're going 15 knots, he's going 40 knots the other way. And it's exciting.
I bet.
I bet you.
Man, I'd love to hear that.
My years ago, back when I was good looking, my dad had a 42-foot sailboat. He kept it in New Smyrna Beach. He lived in Pennsylvania. I used it every weekend. We drag planers off the back and just catch smoking king mackerels every single time.
Yeah.
it was super fun, except you'd have to climb down the ladder to get a hold of them and then flip them up over your back to get them on the deck.
Yeah.
It was a center cockpit. But
yeah. This time of the year, the kingfish, they'll move offshore, you know, and they'll bunch up. And then a lot of times we'll be out there bottom fishing for the red porgies, the beeliners and stuff like that. And then we'll catch the kingfish with the butterfly jigs, just a small 4-inch butterfly jig. But you got to put some wire on there, of course, for them teeth.
Right.
But, I mean, you can catch one after the other on them butterfly jigs, and it's fun.
And how far do you have to go?
50 miles.
Wow.
And then
I didn't realize kingfish move that far off. I've never been that far off. That's why I didn't know.
Yep. Yeah, they're out there.
Man, and do they kind of stay year-round out there?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Just having to go further and further.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of up and down the beach, you know.
They're just following that warm water, you know, just warm right there towards the Gulf Stream.
When you have a warm water eddy that comes in off the Gulf Stream, do they come on in with that?
I'm sure they do, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, like the dolphin or whatever.
When you get those water breaks, the water temperature changes offshore, you know, the best what the bait follow, and then that's why the fish follow those also, because they're following the bait.
Mm. Yeah, because, I mean, you have a big difference in water temperature when you get that coming in, huh?
Yep. That's right. Yeah, you never know where it's going to be either. I know a lot of guys use those sea surface temperature charts, and there's a bunch of different places that you can get them. Some work, some don't. I know on my boat I have the satellite imagery for the water temps, but to me it doesn't seem to be that accurate, you know, because you can see a temperature break on the screen, and then when you run the boat across that temperature break, you know, the water temp on the machine doesn't represent the same thing that the map is showing. So I don't think it's very reliable. But
it should have been real time, right? I mean,
Well, it updates. You know, even the satellite weather on my boat, there's a little bit of a delay, but it's not bad. I mean, when you see the boat coming into the green or the yellow or whatever, usually you're getting some water on you. So it's pretty accurate.
What kind of boat do you have?
They're 27-foot polars. Yeah, got twin outboards on them. We got Ray Marine Electronics, and I mean, I like them. It's what I've been using since I started,
right?
You know, so I kind of just stick with it. It's easier when you change your electronics out and you try to upgrade the machine. It's easier to just stick with the same manufacturer because the transducers are compatible,
right?
So a little easier just to stick with the same machine or company.
He's got three boats, so you know. He runs three boats out. So.
Oh, you have a marina.
They're all the same. they're all the same size, same boat.
Do they stay at Mayport?
Yeah. Keep it Morningstar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. To be able to just call them, tell them, drop them in the water. That's pretty neat.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
It's got its benefits, and then it's got its withdrawals too. You know, from maintenance and so forth. Driving, you know, where I drive. Having to go and try to remember what each boat needs done to it, and then trying to keep a list together and bring all the supplies of what I need for each boat. Me and a friend was talking about that last night. He just pulled his boat out of the marina and took it home. And he said, man, it's just so nice having my boat at the house. If I have to go do something to it, it's right there. I can take care of it. You know, I don't have to remember what to bring.
That's one of the things I like. But, I mean, you know, you did trailer your boat home for years.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, how long have you been storing it at the marina now?
A little over a year, about 2 years.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So you've been taking it home a long time.
Weird. Stuff's breaking on your boat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bust out another $1,000.
Yeah.
Yep, I know. It's pretty bad at times, man.
Yep.
Well, if you're going to fish today, you know, we're going to have some pretty bad weather coming in. It looks like in about an hour, looking at the radar. And they're talking about small craft advisory in effect through this evening, but then this evening's gale warnings in effect from this evening through Sunday morning. And looking at this, you know, some of the stuff, the apps we look at and stuff, looks like it's probably going to start calming down around, you know, 4 to 5 o'clock in the morning. So maybe tomorrow you can get out there. It's going to be sunny but cold. I understand it's going to be something like 35 degrees cooler than it was yesterday.
I'll take the cold if they leave the wind.
Too. Yeah. I can wear a coat.
Yeah. Man, the bad thing about it is wind and cold. When you get wind and cold. You know, you got these different weather, you know, apps and stuff. It's like the, you know, National Weather Service saying, you know, 20 knots tomorrow, but 15 to 20. And then some of the ones are showing 10 to 15. And, you know, so it's kind of, you have to get out there and look at it.
They're all liars.
Give us a call, 222-8255, and we'll be back.
Safe Harbor Seafood. Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried. Or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood. Located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Do you like offshore fishing? Team Buck Rogers Charters has been offering offshore charters in the Jacksonville-Mayport area since 2006. We offer any increment you like from 4 hours up to 12 hours, and we can carry up to 6 people per boat. Large groups, celebrations, corporate events. Does your Sunday school class want to spend a day on the water? No problem. We have 3 boats that can each carry up to 6 people, so groups of up to 18 are welcome. If you have more than 18 people, we can still accommodate you by reaching out to some other great captains who we consider very close friends. If you're thinking offshore, think Team Buck Rogers. Call me, Captain Chad, at 904-502-7408 or book online at teambuckrogers.com. Also, please follow us on Facebook and YouTube at /Team Buck Rogers.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and talking about, to Captain Chad Sterling here. I think the this time of the year, I guess you hear mostly about wahoo more than you do kingfish, really, because I guess people are, you're having to go about the same distance, I guess, to try to target either one of them, being the kingfish move that far offshore.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might as well, you know, try for the wahoo. They're so much better. Everything, you know, so
yeah, even though they're in the same family, the wahoo is a much better food value than a kingfish. I'd like kingfish myself. There's so many different ways you can cook it. Smoking is the best for me, to put on a saltine cracker with some pickled jalapeno pepper and a little drop of hot sauce. Yeah,
but you can smoke a flip-flop and it's delicious.
You can
use the right recipe.
You can, but it you know, it hurts some dentures. And
you know, talking about smoking, I mean, I have some people that, who like to keep bluefish, and then because they'll smoke them, you know, or they'll make dip out of them.
I've made dip out of jacks. It was, in fact, my neighbor wouldn't talk to me for 2 days because I fed him a jack, even though he said it was delicious. Mm-hmm. He was furious.
Yeah.
Talking about a yellow jack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I can catch like two or three, you know, hefty ones, maybe 16 inches long, I'll keep them and smoke them.
I have, you know, in the summertime during while we're kingfishing along the beach, you'll get on them. I'm sure you caught them around the jetties too, the big yellow jacks, you know, 25 pounders.
Yeah, big ones.
And I have some customers, they want to keep them, and I my left eye starts twitching just a little bit. And I said, are you sure you want to keep this?
Yeah, really?
This bloody thing? That's like, yeah, they're good. It's like, this yellow jack right here, this is what you're talking about. So, yeah, I mean, hey, it's every man for himself. I just hate to clean them. They're like cleaning a spare tire. They're just tough. Got them big bone lines in them and stuff. They're tough to clean. But, hey, if that's what they want, that's what they get.
I just bleed them. You know, I bleed them, so I don't clean them. I usually make an incision down the top, both sides, so the smoke can get under the skin. Mm. Cut them out, throw them on the smoker. You know, pour on the
cream
cheese.
And you're talking about a smaller one, too, though. So
yeah, 16 inches, not a 20-pounder.
Yeah, the ones he's talking about, I mean, you get out there at times, and you get just around the tips of the rocks or just out in the pokey pods, and you're talking there's some out there that run like 15 to 30 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, big jacks.
Almost big enough to eat birds.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they're big
jacks. You get one of those on a kingfish combo, and it takes a while.
They
call them a yellow submarine. But, I mean, you'll get in a big school of them. You've seen them swimming by the jetties. I mean, you'll big schools of them. I mean, sometimes they're 50 to 100 fish. They're huge schools. And we have five lines, and they all go in different directions. So it's not like you can chase it.
Right.
You just got to wait. You know, you got one going east, one going west, and one going all different directions. Mm-hmm. And you're just at idle waiting to see what's going to happen.
Well, the best thing is if they are all going different directions. Because when they go the same direction, you're talking about a mess.
Oh, yeah.
I've had two on at the same time, just two, and that's a mess.
Yep.
Let's get Captain Chip Wingo. Morning, Chip.
What's happening, guys?
Hey, Chip.
Hey, you're not fishing today, are you?
No.
Is Leon going? I got to ask. Is Leon going?
Make sure you bring your kite if you do go.
Yeah, I think Leon's up in North Carolina still.
Oh, he still is? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw some nice pictures he put up of some creek fishing he was doing.
Yeah.
That looked fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess he went up. He's been up there for, I don't know, a week or so. But, so it looked like they got on a decent little trout bite with the fly rods. So I was happy for him for that. Bite's been good down in the valley. I can't complain about that at all. You know, the trout bite was on fire. Once again, it's all fish bites.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, those fish bites are the bomb.
Yeah, I saw the pictures.
Yeah, I mean, when you can put a client on an artificial... Well, let's back up. Nobody had bait yesterday down our way.
Oh, wow.
So, all the way through St. Augustine. So, with that being said, you know... I'm sitting there going, well, do I give them the option to go or not, or just hand it to them and let them rip?
Yeah.
You know? And so, but they didn't have a problem catching fish with it. So it's just makes life easy.
You still using the white ones?
Well, I'm
fight clubs.
The white fight club, dirty boxer.
Yeah.
And I was also using the chartreuse. And they make I don't remember the color. It's kind of like a new penny looking color with the on the dirty boxer. But I mean, they work. And if you have anything else right now with a chartreuse tail and a soft plastic, you can throw that as well and catch them. But one of the keys is to go with a 16-ounce jig head, so the bait falls real slow, and just twitch it, let it fall. You know, kind of like you're working a miradine. And or a barbalange, where it short twitches and then you know let it spin. But yeah.
Bill likes his DOAs for that reason, you know, because they are slow. You can work them
the
slow.
DOA shrimp.
Yeah.
A lot of people have used them. I've never caught a fish on DOA shrimp.
Oh, really? My gosh! I've caught so many fish. You just have to leave them alone. It's kind of like fishing a cork where you you want to keep the slack out, but you don't want to pull it towards yourself.
Yeah.
You know, just leave them alone and keep as much slack out, and those fish will just eat. I've caught everything on them, even puffers.
I caught myself on one. With the fish bites, I mean, we're catching pompano with them. I mean, we're talking a swim bait, a big swim bait.
Yeah, those things are long. Yeah, you're talking about the curl tails, right?
Yeah. And we're catching pompano on them. I mean, I had a 15-year-old on the boat, had one kid by himself, and I guess it was, last Sunday, and it was, he put the smackdown out there on fish. I mean, he had like five reds, five pompano, probably 35 trout.
See, now you're just showing off.
I mean, this kid was unbelievable. It started raining, and he's like, hey, we don't have to go in, do we? I was like, and his brothers didn't want to go. They didn't think they were going to catch anything. So his brothers didn't want to go. So I'm steady sending pictures.
Good for you. That's funny. Yeah.
So, but no, the bite's been really good. I mean, then we had, I've had a couple, like the last 2 days that slowed up. Yesterday the trout bite was good, but the day before it, all of a sudden it's just like everything put the brakes on. You had to really work for them. And I'm sure yesterday evening they went ballistic again right before that front. But, you know, we'll see what happens post-front.
Yeah.
And go from there. So,
I hope this wind blows on through and gets, you know, gets gone earlier.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to go to Georgia.
You're getting a tree?
Yep. I'm going to go get in a tree and then a blind or whatever till the 12th. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's supposed to be calming down tomorrow, but, you know, depending on what time, that's the big thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the end of the season for deer, so I think it's time to just vacate for a little while. Leon's coming back out of town. I'm leaving.
Is that by design?
Yeah, it's by design. But I'm really surprised at the amount of pompano that are in the intercoastal down there.
Yeah, and it kind of shocked me that you said he caught them on that, because that's a huge bait. I mean, really, you know, for a pompano anyway. You know, it's not a huge bait for a trout or, you know, anything with that size of mouth. But for a pompano, that just amazes me, you know.
And they, you know how pompano fight, and they're an aggressive fish when they feed. But, I mean, as soon as he hooked up, I knew what it was. Because, you know, the jacks are gone. So I knew exactly what it was. But he did well. And we caught lots of redfish. You know, it's funny. I did a lot of doubles. And, you know, you're thinking you're going to have one charter that's not as good as the other one, you know, throughout the day since you're going back to back. But it was trout on the higher water, reds on the low water. And it was really good last week. I mean, really good. So I'm happy with the water temperature right now. As long as it doesn't get too much colder, I think we'll be all right. So hang out for a while at this temperature.
Yeah, we know it's probably going to get colder, you know, by the time February gets here. But yet, you know, hopefully that, like you say, hopefully it won't be too bad. I would, you know, I know at times that we'd want a cold winter, you know, to help kill off some bugs. But, you know, in Florida, I don't think it really kills them off, you know.
I don't either.
I think it just makes it bad on us.
Yep.
You know, the people who talk about, I know I talk to a lot of people who say, you know, gosh, I love cold weather. I'm like, you work in an office, don't you? Yeah. So you're in the cold when you walk out of the house, get in the car, and then when you walk out of the car, get in the office. You get out there and work in it, you know, 8 hours, 9 hours, or whatever, you get a different understanding about that cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very true.
Appreciate it.
Guys, I appreciate it.
All right, Chip, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it.
See you later.
See you, buddy. You guys have a great day.
All righty. Thank you, sir. And if you'd like to call Captain Chip Wingo, 614-4989. Give him a call, see if you can go get out there and, you know, go fishing with him. And down there in Palm Valley, that's where he targets most of his fishing at, down in that area. But anyway, give us a call here at 222-8255, and we'll be back right after this.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Thousands of mourners marching in a funeral procession through Baghdad for Iran's top general and Iraqi militant leaders killed in a U.S. airstrike. The protesters were chanting, "America is the great Satan." The general Qassem Soleimani, the head of Iran's elite Quds force and mastermind of its regional security strategy, was killed in an airstrike on Friday near the Iraqi capital's airport. Iran has vowed harsh retaliation, raising fears of all-out war. The U.S.-led coalition says it has boosted security measures at its Iraqi bases. Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison has called up about 3,000 reservists as the threat of wildfires has escalated in at least three states. He says 23 deaths have been confirmed so far this summer, including two today, and, quote, "we're facing another extremely difficult next 24 hours. This is SR.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry with 400,000 members. They've shared over $2 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. And with MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And that's a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
Great news, folks. The Lighthouse Retirement Hour is finally available everywhere you listen on this great radio station Saturday and Sundays, or grab the iTunes podcast, the Spotify podcast, iHeart podcast, and coming soon to every device where you can say Siri or Alexis. If you love the combination of timely investing news, great conservative politics, you're going to love this show no matter how you listen. Get all the links on my website, lighthouseretirement.com.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
80% chance of showers today and breezy with a high of 75. Most clear nights through Monday night with lows into the 40s. Sunny Sunday and Monday with high of 60 on Sunday, a high Monday 64. And a 20% chance of rain Tuesday night. High Tuesday 64, low Tuesday night 45.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
Usually not the nicest people in the world.
And we're back this morning. And so when's the last time you went fishing?
Oh, I went fishing New Year's Day. It was pretty successful. I used some pretty heavy tackle. Went down to the local park, hit the pond, and caught a big shopping cart. Just, you know, so some idiots threw it over the dock. you know, and we get down, my wife likes to feed the turtles, and, you know, we just kind of, let's go outside, let's go to the park, okay, cool. And so I said, you know, we need to get that out of there.
Mm.
So I pull it out while these people are looking at me like I'm a freaking vagrant. I come walking up out of the park, pushing a shopping cart with a bucket in it. I said, no, it's not mine.
That's funny. That's funny you mentioned a turtle. I know my uncle, he used to fish all the little local lakes.
Mm-hmm.
He used to love the fly rod. And I like to do that too, a little popping fly, cypress trees.
And a little brim killers and stuff.
So we'd go out there and we'd spend all morning getting the boat ready, getting everything situated, getting the fly rod, the line waxed so it floats real good and get all pretty, put the boat in the water, ease around, we start fishing. And if he saw a turtle stick his head up, he's like, that's it, fish ain't going to bite, we're going to the house.
No way.
I was like, Uncle Red, you're saying the fish aren't going to bite because the turtle's sticking his head up? I said, he just needs to breathe oxygen.
Yeah, really? You know?
But if he saw a turtle head, man, we're going home.
Did he think they were?
I still laugh about that today. It's hilarious.
Did he think they were scouting for the fish, or what was the theory?
I don't know what his theory was. He just thought that if the turtle stuck his head up out of the water around the boat, then the fish weren't going to bite. And so that's funny. So we always laugh about that, me and my dad.
That is funny.
I had an uncle that swore up and down that WD-40 sprayed on his knees helped him. And I mean, there's some weird stuff.
Did he ever rust?
Huh?
Did he ever rust?
He didn't rust.
See?
I wonder if it helped the squeaking, though.
Yeah, really?
Probably. And I mean, the popping.
When you look at stuff like that, there's just some weird, you know, old sayings and stuff. I mean, like, you know, people talk about, oh, man, if you soak your shrimp, you know, if you're surfing, you soak your shrimp in Diet Pepsi. I'm sure y'all heard that.
No.
You know?
No,
I haven't. Oh, yeah. Either. Yeah, you soak your shrimp in Diet Pepsi, and, boy, that just the fish just love it. I'm like, you know, why would a fish, you know, you got to look at this. Why would a fish that's normally eating shrimp, why would they want something that's, you know, tastes completely out of the water? You know what I mean?
Well, not only that, they're waterproof. So why would they taste like anything?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's just crazy. But, I mean, you know, people have their feelings. But that's, I mean, have their beliefs. But that's one of the craziest ones I've heard, too.
Yeah.
Turtle sticking his head out of the water.
Unbelievable.
Well, it's like bananas. I'd be like,
we ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
So there's so many turtles out here.
Yeah, you know, really?
They do breathe oxygen.
Is there a pond without them?
Yeah, really?
I haven't found it.
No, because when I had my catfish pond in my front yard before I filled it in, I don't care how much you went out there. I'd go out there with a pellet gun and I'd, you know, pop them in the head because they'll eat your catfish.
Right.
You know, so I would do that. But, you know, you got there every week, there's another one in there. I don't know where they come from.
Yeah, I know there's a bunch of them. That'd be something cool to have some people call and say, what is the funny one that you have?
Yeah, exactly. You know, some beliefs and all. My dad, when we were driving out going fishing, if the cows were standing up feeding, he'd say, yeah, this is going to be a great day. You know, barometers rising, you know, whatever, it's going to be a great day because the animals are feeding, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, we always caught fish, so I guess maybe that was good, you know. But I say always, except for when it was so rough and stuff like that you didn't fish where you wanted to fish.
Right.
You know what I mean? You'd have to just go out there and fish wherever, you know, to get out of it. That's a lot of times people ask me, you know, I said, look, it's going to be, you know, northeast 25 knots. And they're like, well, can we get out of it? I'm like, well, yeah, we can go get behind an island or something, you know. But, I mean, what are you going to do then, you know?
Right.
You know, if a fish comes by there or whatever.
Yeah, I hate that hiding from the wind.
I mean, I do too. I mean, I just hate the wind, period, you know.
You know, I take bananas on the boat. I always leave them on the deck at the launch ramp. I can't tell you how many guys are like, you better get that damn banana out of your boat. It's like, what?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to catch nothing.
If I have a customer with a banana in the boat, what I'll do is I'll take the banana and I'll throw it in one of my buddy's boats on the way out and then see how long it takes them to realize it's in there.
Okay, got Captain David Borries just told me, just text me and said the coke will start to break down the shrimp and it'll put more scent in the water. But that's the first time I've heard that one too. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you texting me.
If I was a fish, I would prefer coke over Pepsi baked shrimp too.
Yeah, really. But he said the coke will start to break the shrimp down. So you know, I guess
acid or whatever.
Acid or whatever, yeah. And it'll put more shrimp scent in the water. So that's pretty neat.
Hmm. Never would have thunk it.
That's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, looking at the wind, it looks like it's going to back off around 12 or 1 o'clock tomorrow. And then it's going to get calmer as the day goes on, and Monday is looking like a flat ocean day. So as of right now, I don't have a trip booked, so I may be going out there doing some field research.
There you go. Yeah, you got out there and, you know, looking like Monday. Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what was you looking at for that? Was you looking at
Windfinder?
Yeah, that's really, to me, that's one of the better ones, you know, that I've looked at. I mean, some of the ones I've had, I've done away with, gotten them off my phone. But yeah, looking at that, I mean, you're talking like, you know, it's getting down to 1.2.
Yeah.
Even, you know.
You don't get too many of those.
Oh, look at that.
First of all, this year, much less this month.
And Tuesday, they're showing 0.8, 0.9.
Yeah, but I saw the wind was, you know, out of 20, you'll be okay. It looks like it's blowing from the west. And a lot of people will make a mistake if they don't have that offshore experience. You know, you get a west wind or a southwest, even northwest, if it's coming from overland, you know, the beach and everything out there looks calm. The further out you go, the rougher it gets. So then by the time you get too far offshore, you know, then you got to turn around and come back into that swell. You know,
and that's on the way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the way back, that would be, you know, more of a problem on the way back. I know I used to, and I never would go out as far as you go out, but I used to go out, you know, like the PG, you know, PM, stuff like that, and MR, probably the furthest I've been out. But I know when that storm would get between me and the shoreline.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have radar, didn't have radar on the phone or nothing like that, because I've been out there before and waited a little bit too late.
Yeah.
You know, hit some 5, 6, 7s on the way back in. You know, and I didn't have a boat size of yours either. So.
Right. Yeah, that's what we were talking about a little bit earlier about the satellite weather for me. You know, especially in the summertime, you get those afternoon thunderstorms. You know, if you're looking back over land, you see the big purple clouds and you're thinking you could be in trouble. You know, if you don't have that satellite weather, you know, obviously err on the side of caution to come in so you don't have to get in a thunderstorm, you know, and get in a lightning. But with the weather, you know, on my boat, the satellite weather, I can see the direction that the storms are traveling. I can see whether they've got lightning in. Of course, you can see the lightning yourself, but it'll show you lightning. It'll show you the direction of the storm, how fast it's traveling. So a lot of times if it's over land, I can see if it's moving up the coast, you know, and we'll say, hey, we're good. We don't need to leave.
Yeah.
You know, we can finish our trip, you know, get another afternoon trip in. So it's something good to have, especially if you're going to be spending any time offshore. I highly recommend the satellite weather.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine, you know, being out there like that.
Cause, yeah.
I mean, you know, your cell phone's not going to work out there, right?
No, it works out to about 3 or 4 miles. Hmm. You know, I mean, you can get text further than that. But if you're trying to get, you know, internet, you know, the 4G or whatever, to get the satellite imagery on your phone outside 3 miles, you're not going to get it too good.
Hmm. That works for me. I get a flats boat. If I can't be inside the inlet in 11 minutes, I'm not out there.
Well, if you're in the flats boat, then you're going to stay inside that cell phone range anyway.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things
you can see me wave my hands if I'm in trouble.
There you go.
Let me tell you one of the things. I used to have a handheld GPS because all I had on my boat was a depth finder. You know, what didn't have GPS and all that back then. We're talking years ago. You know, but probably about 35 years ago, something like that. So anyway, my wife and I would go out, you know, fishing, and I go out there and I hit a couple of reefs. You know, and I'm like, it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, we need to head on in. You know, get on in. It's going to be like 5:30 or so before we get on the trailer. So anyway, you know, crank up, we start heading in. Well, my wife always liked listening to the radio, you know, and I would come back by compass, you know.
Right.
And she had a little boom box sitting up there on the dash, you know, listening to the radio. And I'm driving about 20, 25 minutes, and I'm like, you know, gosh, I should be seeing land by now, you know. And I'm like, well, maybe it hadn't been that long, you know. So we're talking, driving, you know, driving. About another 15, 20 minutes, I'm like, something's wrong. I pull up my handheld GPS, and I had a mark on the tip of the South Jetties. I pull that up, and it's like behind me. I was heading due east, and I looked down, and I looked at that radio. I picked that radio up.
Oh, the magnet.
And the compass spun around. I was heading due east.
Yep.
I didn't have that big of a gas tank.
You're headed for France.
Yeah, that magnet on that GPS, you throw a wrench or a phone or something up there to that GPS, the compass, and it'll mess it up.
Yeah, even, like you say, even a wrench.
Yeah.
I mean, I've actually had some hooks make it move. I mean, you just put them up there and watch it, and it'll move a little bit. I mean, depending on what, I guess, what the hooks are made out of, you know, or what they're coated with, whatever. But, yeah, it's you don't want to have a magnet like that around a compass, especially when you're heading home.
Yep.
Give us a call, 222-8255, and we'll be back.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits, and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, 222-8255. Give us a call if you like. And Captain Chad here's got, well, we're talking about the three boats he runs. You want to kind of talk about them a little bit? I know you said you got the satellite, you know, weather on them and all that.
Nice looking boats.
Yeah, you got all the safety equipment and, you know, everything you need out there. So, you know, if anybody like to get offshore, especially, you know, while the Wahoo are running like that.
Yeah.
And how long will they run? I mean, you can probably catch Wahoo in the summertime, right?
You can. Yeah. But, I mean, you don't get a lot of them, but I mean, typically what we call the Wahoo run, yeah, you know, goes between now and through March. Mm-hmm. They'll start tapering off a little bit in March. But even in May, when you're catching a dolphin, you still pick up Wahoo, mm-hmm, in the process too. So, I mean, they're a pelagic fish, you know, blue water fish. So they're here a lot, you know, all year long, pretty much.
So, I mean, looking at that, you know, being able to go out there and, like I say, if you'd like to give Captain Chad a call, it's, of course, 904-502-7408, and that's 502-7408. And, you know, get your party together. You take up to, what, six
people? Yeah, each boat holds up to six people. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, say, is that crowded? It's, if you're trolling for the Wahoo and stuff like that, it can get a little bit crowded, so you may not want to bring that many people. But bottom fishing, you put three people on each side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got 3 or 4 feet between each person. That gives us, me and whoever is helping me out for the day, gives us room to get between each person, you know, help mm-hmm. them bait, take fish off, undo tangles and whatnot. But we fish six on those boats comfortably. Mm-hmm. And not too many boats in Jacksonville would do six people.
Yeah, because how long are they?
They're 27 foot.
All three of them?
All three, yeah. Okay. They're all the same hull. They're all 27 foot center consoles. They all have twin outboards. The engines are different on each boat, but they're all Yamaha. But have a good time. I always say, come as a customer, leave as a friend.
Yeah, there you go.
And the next time you come back, bring more.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to get out and where you're going to fish?
It all depends on Wahoo. The length of the trip. Wahoo, I mean, you're really not starting Wahoo fishing on average until you get 40 miles, you know. So the boats cruise comfortably at 30, 35. You know, a lot of times the ocean's not going to let you go that fast anyway. Mm-hmm. So between 40 and 65, sometimes 75 miles when you're fishing. So you're talking anywhere between 2, sometimes 3 hours, depending on the sea conditions that right. you're dealing with. Yeah. And then a lot of times this time of the year, it takes longer to get out there than it does to get back, because you've got a lot of northeast, a lot of times the swell and east mm-hmm. swell that you're having to go into the swell as you're going offshore. So, you know, going into a swell, it takes you longer than coming back with the swell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the good thing about going way out there is if the Wahoo, for some reason, don't bite, which, I mean, it's fishing. You know, they have tails. They move.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be a lot of fun, and sometimes it can be frustrating. But the good thing is, if it's a frustrating day and they're not biting, then you have a lot of options out there as far as bottom fishing. We get the big trigger fish. I mean, some of them up to 10 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, big trigger fish. Yeah. Oh, man, you want to talk about a fight. You get two of those on a pole at one time. I've got a couple of YouTube videos that of those charters, you know, mm-hmm. and boys pulling double trigger fish up, big beeliners, you get the Almaco jacks, different jacks, mangrove snapper, mutton snapper,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of different stuff out there. You never know what you're going to pull up. You know, grouper fishing out there is better than it is near shore,
mm-hmm.
But you never know what you're going to get. And a lot of times, you know, we get back on one of those 12-hour days, even bottom fishing for a few hours. We call those the grocery getter trips. You know, fill the box up. It takes us an hour and a half sometimes to clean the fish when we get back.
Mm.
But you leave with a lot of fish.
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of fun. When you're talking about mangroves out there now, of course, you know, we talk about mangroves inshore. This year, I have not caught a keeper mangrove. I say I haven't. I'm talking about my customers. Mm-hmm. Have not caught a keeper mangrove. We've caught some small ones and all, you know, but
I quit fishing for them.
Yeah, and this year, and last year, I mean, we couldn't even find any inshore. I didn't even talk to anybody who even saw one last year.
Yeah, was it the year before last that the mangrove bite inshore was pretty good?
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were catching keepers, pretty nice, all that, you know, and catching, you know, usually you limit them and all, but you know, out there now, how big are they? How big?
We're talking anywhere from 3 to 15 pounds.
Yeah. For a mangrove,
when they get
that'd
to
be nice mangrove
at 15 inches, those fish go to the ocean. That's why we never catch any big ones, because mm-hmm. when they get to be that size, then they start heading out and turn into real fish.
They must just keep going offshore as they grow bigger mm-hmm. too. Because you mean, you go out there 50 miles is where you start seeing the good ones.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Now, one time, Captain Fred Morrow, him and I used to talk all the time. You know, we go out the jetties and sheephead fish, and well, it was in April, and for some reason, I was going by Fred, you know, I was giving him thumbs up, thumbs down, see what he was, you know, if he was doing all right, because I'd just come from the creeks, and I was going to start sheephead fishing, and he waved me over to his boat, and I pulled over, and he said, get right here close to me, and I said, I don't want to get too close. He goes, no, get right here close to me, you'll see why. He picked up a mangrove that's about 2.5 pounds,
wow.
And I was like, wow, and he goes, yeah, we got a bunch of them. And we sit there for about 2 weeks. Every day you could go out there. And there was a stretch out there. It was only about 100 feet. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but there was a stretch in there. You get out of that 100-foot area, you wouldn't catch any. It was so weird. It was on the inside of the South Jetties there. And I mean, we'd go out there for almost 2 weeks, just catch them every day.
Limit out.
Wow. It was weird. Yeah. I mean, nice. They were nice. Man, biggest mangroves I ever saw inshore.
Now, have you seen that since then?
Nope. Never have.
Strange, huh?
Never have. That's like the, you know, I haven't seen the past few years. You know, usually, typically, I don't know why, but in April for about 2 weeks, there's a little hole. I say little. It's pretty deep, but it's small in size. You know, out there in the tip of the South Rocks, and you go out there and you can follow the rocks down, and y'all see that great white.
Yeah, I did.
You follow the rocks down, you see it. You know how they drop down toward the end. You mm-hmm. know, you're over top of them, and you see it be about 40, 42 feet. All of a sudden, it drops to like 69. And then it comes back up to about 50, and then it goes back down. It's a little tiny hole. We used to go out and catch some greenhead sea bass out there. And, I mean, they'd be like 16, 18 inches.
Wow.
And I don't know why they would be in there in that particular spot. That's the only place I ever caught them that big. I mean, we caught a 16-inch one not too long ago on the tip of the North Jetties. But for some reason, they used to get in there in April all the time. And I don't know why. I don't know if that was a spawning thing that they did or what.
Yeah.
Because I don't know when they spawn.
Yeah, talking about the black sea bass, I mean, we're starting to see a little bit more of the black sea bass offshore. So we've been waiting for those. They'll get better between now and March as well. And you want to talk about some good eating. That's, that's got to be, you know, a top five fish offshore as far as food value.
Mm-hmm.
I caught the first legal sea bass that I ever caught in my life this year, right at the launch ramp.
Oh, yeah.
Under the dock, yeah.
Huh.
I mean, he was a squeaker, but he was legal.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, they got 13 inches, baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It takes a pretty good size sea bass to it make does. 13 inches, too.
Yeah. Did you remember when they were 8?
Yeah. Over in the Gulf,
they used to be 8 inches.
Over in the Gulf, they're 10, and there's no bag limit in the Gulf, whereas over here, we can only have 7.
Mm.
And they did move it up from 5 a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah,
it was down to 5, yeah.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah, but it's so strange. Now, is it still 5 inshore? I think it is, isn't it?
5.
I think it only went 7 in federal.
Fish.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it only went 7 in federal, but I'd have to look. I don't know. We don't catch that many keepers anyway, so, you know.
Right.
See
if I can find it while we're talking.
Yeah, and I know that was probably been, like you say, probably about 2 years ago when they raised it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that was one of the weirdest things I've also seen from the South Atlantic Marine Fisheries Council, be for them to raise a limit, you know, on fish.
Yeah, that's not their usual
right
mode of operation.
Yeah.
So on the speckled trout, Vic, what's the size and the bag limit on the speckled trout now?
15 inches, and it's still, they haven't changed it yet officially, so it's still 15 inches and 15 to 20 and one over 20.
Okay.
And you can keep 6 per person.
6 per person. Yep. Okay. We were debating the other day. I knew it was 5 at one time. Did they move that to 6?
They moved
it to
6.
So that's another one they moved up.
They did that whenever they did the redfish went to 2 people.
Oh, okay.
2 per person. Yeah, same time.
For
same
some
year.
Reason, I had 7 in my mind, but so it's 6.
Aren't they going back to 5?
And they're talking about it, but they're also talking about keeping it 6, but going 15 to 19 inches and 1 over 19.
Mm.
Now, that I don't really see the logic in all of that, you know, a lot. I mean, to me, I think if you're going to try to, you know, help them out, I think they ought to go down to like 14 inches. Maybe, and go up to like 14 to 20 and nothing over 20 or whatever.
Yeah, I'd like to have a tag system where you can keep 2 a year over 20.
And then, yeah, there you go.
You know, so you can get your biggest fish over and over again.